Hi folks, Matt McSpirit here, technical evangelist and member of the ops team here at Microsoft. Continuing our look at the 10 reasons why you'll love Windows Server 2016, in this final episode, we're meeting a very special guest, Mr. Jeffrey Snover, who's going to bring you up to speed with his perspectives on Windows Server and everything you need to know about Nano Server. Let's go meet him. So Jeffrey, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, as part of this series, you'll know we've covered things like Active Directory, PowerShell, remote desktop services. We've covered containers, storage, networking, compute, so much stuff.
Server
management. Yeah, a huge amount of stuff. But if I had to put you on the spot, what would be the thing that most excites you about Windows Server 2016?
Yeah, actually, that's easy. Windows Server 2016 brings about like the latest era of Windows Server. So if you think about the history of Windows Server, we've had these three distinct eras. And now with Windows Server 2016, we're bringing about the fourth. So the first era was when we took a GUI and we put it on a server and we ran it on PC class hardware. And all of a sudden, it was the server for the masses. Now anybody could run their own server, and guess what? They did. And so there were lots of them. So there were lots of servers, and then there were just a gazillion PC clients. And so that precipitated the need for, well, how do I make them all work together? So that brought about the second era of Windows Server, and that is the enterprise server era. Windows Server 2000 brought about Active Directory and group policy, and we were able to tie all these things together as a cohesive unit. And then when we added .NET to that mix, we had this LLB explosion. Okay, so then that created another problem. That problem was, man, I got a lot of these servers. How do I run them? Can I run them at all the scales that I want? How do I manage them? So that brought about the data center era for server for data centers. So we had scale-up servers, we had scale-out servers, we had virtualization, we had some of the highest scale virtualization ever, and of course, automation. Okay, and in fact, that server, that data center server, is what Azure was built upon. And so they brought about the fourth era of computing, which is cloud. And so we're taking technology from Azure, we're updating Windows Server, and we're bringing about the fourth era of Windows Server, the cloud era. And the interesting thing about this is each one of these eras have been additive. So when we became an enterprise server, we were still great server for the masses. You could still go, and even with Windows Server 2016, if you got your server with a keyboard and a mouse and a video screen, you can install Windows Server 2016 on it, server and a desktop. You get the Windows desktop on that, but it's a server. You have all the server roles, and it's still great. So the thing I'm pointing out is that each one does not replace the previous era, it adds to it. And so we're adding now the cloud era for Windows Server, and that by far is the most exciting thing.
But if you're a small business, you get benefits from that server. If you're running it as your fabric, you get benefits. And if you're running it as an app platform, you get benefits.
Exactly. They're all additive.
Nice. So,
and we keep investing in each one of those things.
Exactly. So everyone benefits.
Yeah.
But if I had to put you on the spot, some of your favorite features within this release.
Okay. So basically, I give you two.
Okay.
Right? One is sort of at the foundation level. So when I say Windows Server for the cloud, what does that really mean? And the answer is Windows Server for the cloud plays two roles. First is as a foundational operating system. It will be the basis of Windows Azure and private cloud, where private cloud can be Azure Stack or a do-it-yourself private cloud.
Yep.
And it is the guest that runs in those environments.
Right.
So at the foundation level, it's the software-defined everything. Software-defined storage, software-defined networking, and great improvements in our hypervisor.
Right.
Just fantastic technology. Well, you guys have heard about it. That's just so exciting. And it transforms the economics. You know, cloud is a lot about economics. So you're able to do very important stuff. By the way, that's something we've always been about. Microsoft's always been about doing really hard, really expensive stuff. Now everyone can do it at very low cost.
Exactly.
So we really, the software defined everything lowers the cost. At the guest level, and even a little bit at the foundation level, the thing that excites me the most is that we now finally resolve the interface between developers and operators.
Right.
So what's that mean? Well, in the past, you know, we provided a great operating system with a great set of APIs, but we were really silent about what you should do with those things, how developers should deliver their content to operators. And honestly, that sort of left set people up for conflict and some unproductive conversations. So now I finally resolved that interface. We tell people how to package things. We have a new packager based upon the AppX installer from the client team.
Right.
We've modified that for server scenarios. We tell people how to put their software, how to manage their software, how to put them in repositories and use package management to install them and update them.
Right.
We're clear about how to do configuration with PowerShell desired state configuration. Mm-hmm. We're clear about the need to test your stuff with operational validation tests so that if you make a change, you can run a bunch of tests and ensure that everything keeps running. And then finally, we tell people how to securely operate their environments through things like just enough administration. So what this does is it now finally resolves this interface so that developers can build their applications, hand them off to operations, they know what to do with them, they can be efficient. And again, what's so exciting is this idea that we're finally going, as an industry, we're finally switching from this IT can save you money to IT can earn you money. Nice. You know, I like to point out, there's a maximum amount of money you can save. There is no maximum amount of money you can earn.
Fair enough.
So how do you do that? How do you drive IT to earn more money? And it's about listening to your customers, responding with changes in applications, delivering that, listening again, and doing it again and again and again, fast and with no friction. In order for that to work, you have to have a clear, clear architected interface between developers and operators. Now, we get very excited about DevOps, and any conversation about DevOps, the very thing you're going to hear is, this is not about technology. DevOps is about culture and processes. And you know what? They're right. Those are the higher order bits. But technology has a big role in it. And technology makes that easier or it makes it hard. And with Windows Server 2016, it makes it easy.
Yeah, and other technologies complementary like Azure Stack and containers and so on.
Yeah, exactly, right. So by the way, that's an interesting thing. When we say resolves the interface between developers and operators, there really are two operational models. There's the traditional one, and I mentioned how we resolve each one of those for that traditional model. That's the one most people are doing today. And then there's this new emerging one, and we'll see where it fits in the range of things. And that's a model based upon containers.
Yeah.
And so now Windows Server 2016, we support containers, we support that. We support the Docker API, so that entire new way of operations using containers, we fully support that.
Awesome. Now you mentioned cloud before.
Yeah.
And something we're passionate about, both on-premises cloud, hybrid, and public cloud with Azure. Talk us through some of the improvements, because I know you're a licensing specialist deep down. Talk us through some of the improvements we've made to help customers utilize the cloud with their existing licenses for Windows Server.
As I like to tell people, nothing good can happen from a technical fellow talking about licensing, pricing, or scheduling.
I trust you.
But, you know, I just came back from Build. And by the way, Build was crazy, you know, crazy successful. Each Build seems to gather more and more energy and enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to a number of people, they were so excited about this new, what do we call it, the Azure Hybrid Usage
Benefits.
Right. Yep. And so what that means is now, let's step back. What's the model here? What's the motivating thought? The motivating thought is this. There's the public cloud, there's private cloud, there's hosted cloud. Okay. And what we want to be able to do is to say, there are benefits to each one of those things. The public cloud guys, they'll say, oh, here are all the benefits of public cloud. And if that's all they have, then they'll throw rocks at the private cloud. And you know, and the answer is, yeah, part of that's right, and part of that's right, but not all of it. Mm. And the same thing vice versa. We support all those models. And so our role is to figure out for a particular customer, what is the right, you know, what are their needs, mm-hmm. and what is the right thing to do, right? Should you run it on a private cloud?
Yeah.
Should you run it in a hosted cloud? Should you run it in Azure? Well, now with licensing, that's a technology statement, but it's also a licensing statement or a business statement. Mm. And so what you can do is you get your Windows license and you can run that on premise, or if you want to, you can run it in Azure, and then the price of your VMs in Azure are significantly lower because you're bringing your own license to it.
Nice, cool. So it's really unlocking more agility and more flexibility without licensing being a shackle to hold you to one place.
Exactly. And what gets me so excited is it all kind of stems from this leadership of Satya, where he's just absolutely clear and consistent. Go listen to your customers. Go figure out how to make your customers successful. Mm-hmm. Make them successful. Make them love our products. Make them benefit from our products. And everything else will flow. You know, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's not that hard. And so all of a sudden you're seeing these really, what other people kind of look at these and say, wow, that's a dramatic change. And the answer is, yeah, it is, but actually it just makes sense when you follow mm-hmm. that one principle. And so it's a great company to work for.
It's a great time to be here as well. And so one of the areas that we've taken a lot of feedback on across Windows Server in the past is has led to NanoServer.
Oh yeah, NanoServer.
So tell us about NanoServer. I know it's something you're passionate about and it's the focus of this session as well, though we've talked about lots of other stuff already, which is great. Bring us up to speed for people who've perhaps been hidden under a rock for a while or in another cloud.
Sure.
Tell us about Nano, what it is, what it means, and what are we solving for?
Okay, so NanoServer is just another deployment option for Windows Server.
Right.
So when you deploy Windows Server, you'll have the choice of server in a desktop, mm-hmm. server core, or NanoServer. Now, NanoServer, really our focus here is, as I step back and I say, okay, the future is the cloud, and what's so exciting about that is you're just going to see this knee in the curve in terms of consumption. We believe that because of the lower friction associated with the cloud and the ability to like really drive earnings based upon computing, we're going to see a huge number of instances grow.
Right.
And I sat back and I said, okay, what is the characteristic of an operating system that supports that model? And what we said was, what I need is the smallest possible operating system mm-hmm. that then supports anything that application needs. So we start off incredibly small, and then if you need components, you bring those components in and only those components in.
Right.
And what that means is that you only get the resource consumptions, the servicing, patching, and the security surface of the things that provide you business value.
Correct.
You know, it's one thing to say, well, I'm using this component and it has a service, a patch, so I have to take that patch and I have to reboot the server. That happens to everything. But it just seemed unfair to me to say, well, I have to reboot my service because I'm taking a patch to a component I'm not using. Mm. So how do you solve that? And the answer is you start off really small and you have lots of optional packages. So just to put this in perspective, server with a desktop, that's about 9 or 10 gigabytes. Mm-hmm. Okay, server core is about 5 gigabytes. Nano server, 440 megabytes.
USB size. Tiny.
And the thing is, it boots so fast. I mean, people are like, wait, what just happened there? It's like, oh, I just booted. You put it in a Gen 2 VM, and it boots. It's like 2.5 seconds. Now, all those numbers will vary. You know, some will get better, some will get worse. Mm-hmm. But it's incredibly fast and super secure. The setup goes from, I forget what, but it's like many, many multiples slower, or faster, and our kernel memory usage, dramatically lower, less than half the kernel memory usage. In terms of, we now are even measuring the IOs per boot.
Right.
So imagine you got a hypervisor, you got a lot of VMs. You want all those things up and running as quickly as possible. So we measure how many IOs and are minimizing the IOs to boot it.
Awesome. So what are the primary use cases for Nano then? Because you've got some incredible benefits there around security, reduced patching and so on. But what are we using it for?
So let's be clear. The future of server is Nano server. Full stop.
Yep.
The future of server is Nano server.
I'm sold.
In this time frame, I'm only focusing on two scenarios, right? This is a learning we had from server core. Server core, we weren't clear about the scenarios, and so it took a while for that to really take off and get adoption. Here, I'm being super crisp about my scenarios. Mm-hmm. Scenario number one, cloud OS infrastructure, okay? So what does that mean? That means clustered hypervisor and clustered storage and some networking roles. Mm-hmm. Number two is born in the cloud applications. So we've got .NET Core, we've got ASP.NET Core, we're getting Service Fabric on there as well.
And support for third-party frameworks as well.
Absolutely, yeah, that's a great point. We got a bunch of those third-party frameworks. Ruby, Python, others.
It fits in with what you were talking about before around the eras and where we're at now and those two different deployment models, essentially. So the guest OS and the foundation.
That's exactly
correct. NanoServer is perfect for that.
So it's as though there were an architecture.
Yeah, who'd have thought? I can't. We should meet the guy who designs all this stuff. Yeah, that'd be a good interview. So when we think about the Nano for, we think about it for infrastructure. We think about it for the application platform. Does it have a GUI itself? I mean, how do we manage it?
Yes, and no. Yes, we've got a great GUI. It's called the client.
Right. So, I like it.
Yeah. So, you know, we've always had remote management, and that's where we want to get to, right? When I have a gazillion instances out there, you don't want to have all that expense. You want to do remote management. You want to do automation. So server manager, that runs against remote servers. Mm-hmm. Most of the MMC snap-ins run against remote servers. We have a new user interface, and that's web-based.
Yeah.
And so I think Sam Lee talked to you about
he
that.
He did indeed, yeah.
Server manager tools.
Yeah.
And so you'll see more and more of our user experiences running remotely in the web. But yeah, no, we love automation, and we love PowerShell, of course.
Of course, yeah.
But a lot of people love GUIs as well, and the key there is to say, we love GUIs, they just shouldn't exist on the box itself, it should be remoted.
Yeah, and centrally managed as part of your overall management strategy.
Exactly.
Cool.
But it also allows us to move faster, you know, because the server manager tool that's running in Azure, I can listen to you, find out what your problems are, and update it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then find out, did you like that? No? Oh, I'll update it tomorrow. So we're doing that trick of like listening to our customers and then responding very, very quickly. We're trying to do more and more of that ourselves.
Yeah, and that's where User Voice is a good forum for people to raise questions, say, I'd like this feature, this would be great. And I know you get a lot of feedback on the Nano User Voice for, can you add this role or can you add this feature? Or
yep.
So on. So it's a great place for you to raise your voice and get it to the team. So to wrap up, we've covered Nano, we've covered a lot of stuff in Windows Server as well. So Nano is awesome, more secure, lower footprint, reduced attack surface, easy to manage remotely using familiar tools.
Yep.
How would somebody get started?
Yeah, so what you want to do is you want to pick up our evaluation and start kicking the tires and tell us what things are working for you and what things aren't. We've got some blogs out there. You want to follow me on Twitter, of course, follow me on Twitter.
Yep.
That's at jsnover. J-S-N-O-V as in victory, E-R. But by the way, please don't ask me for support questions on Twitter. It's very hard to provide support at 140 characters at a time.
But you'd have a good go. Yeah. And also don't forget the documentation. So the Nano team do a great job of documenting loads of stuff, loads of scenarios that you can use as well that you can try out.
So. And we had some great videos on Channel 9, of course.
Absolutely, the place for videos, I think.
Indeed. By the way, did you see that Age of Ascent video?
I did not.
Oh, at Build is crazy. So this is a game company. It's not the typical thing, but a game company. And what they've done is they're using ASP.NET, you know, the core.NET,
yeah,
and ASP. They're using Service Fabric, and they're using Nano Server, and they're running this game on Azure, and they're getting crazy scalability. Now, I'm not a gamer, right? So I asked my son, hey, so son, you know, when you get one of these battles, like how many people are in the battle? And he says, well, you know, a couple dozen. You know, this one game, it's really good. There's like 120. I said, oh, great. So well, what would it be like if you had 50,000 people on the battlefield? And he's like, I don't understand. Well, that's what these guys have done. They've got 50,000 people all in one battlefield. So all the messages, like one guy might shoot any of the other 50,000.
Yeah, yeah.
And how are they able to get this incredible scale? Like go from just a few machines all the way up to a very large set to support those. And the answer is Nano Server, ASP.NET, and Service Fabric. And the performance that they're getting is just phenomenal.
Awesome.
So we've got some good examples of that. It's called Age of Ascent. They're up on Channel 9. And they've got some really good examples of what's possible with this new architecture and new approach.
Cool, awesome. So yeah, powering mission critical gaming applications, all sorts.
The cloud is for everyone.
Exactly. So Jeffrey, thank you. It's been a pleasure as always. Thanks for the enlightening insight into your views on Windows Server and obviously everything on Nano Server as well. Hopefully you found it enlightening as well. And please check out the other videos in the series, all available on the Windows Server blog and obviously on Channel 9. So thank you very much for watching and we'll see you again soon.